Welcome to worship.
There it is.
Thus saith the Lord.
So this is the part where I give you next week's winning lottery numbers. But I give them to you so that you don't tell the people who come later, right? You're all going to be big winners, and everybody else is going to be like, what happened? Why? How? You weren't there at the beginning of the worship service, so you didn't hear. You missed out on the winning lottery numbers. Actually, I won't tell you what the winning lottery numbers are because I need them. I got a kid going into college, so I got bills, and so I can't really share with you all. This summer, I'm going to begin our worship times by introducing the theme. Each Sunday is going to be a little bit of a different theme, and I want to tell you a little bit about our theme this morning. I'm going to tell you about it with a little bit of a story. A few weeks ago, at the beginning of May, we had a wonderful joint service with Onuri, and that was a really fun service, lots of energy, lots of joy. And I think that level of energy and joy prompted one of our members to come to me and say, you know, this was such a great experience, and I just feel like we need more of these experiences, because for the last 7 years, things have just really been hard, and all we do is ever talk about is what's wrong around here, what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with what's happening at West Valley, and all the things that's wrong with us. And I think we should have a time where we just reflect and talk about the things that we're grateful for, and how we're grateful for the things that we're grateful for with respect to West Valley Presbyterian Church. And I said, that's a really good idea. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. This morning is a worship service with the theme of gratitude. There's things that we are grateful for, and it's really easy to be grateful for them. And then there are things that we're called to be grateful for that are actually pretty hard to be grateful for. And I want us to think about both of those and to be able to hold the whole story of our own lives and the whole story of West Valley as something that we can have, that we can respond to God with gratitude. Why? Because it's out of that spirit of gratitude that God can work a new thing in us. And it is only out of a spirit of gratitude that God can work with us. And that's going to be an idea that I'm going to kind of continue to touch on throughout the summer. Because I know one thing for sure, we have a deep longing. We have a deep longing for a new thing. And that new thing has to come first out of a spirit of gratitude. A gratitude for what has come, a gratitude for what God has done, a gratitude for the whole of the story, not just the happy parts, a gratitude for the hard parts too and what we've learned through them, and a willingness to receive, to say, we now let go of the parts that need to be released, and we want to receive the new thing that you want to do. That's the theme of this morning. Make sense? Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, in which Paul writes as some final instructions. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Well, I guess we should just stop there, right? I think this is enough for a good sermon today. No, there's more. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to belong to Christ Jesus, to live. Don't suppress the Spirit, and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil. This is God's word to us today. Let us say thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
So he says to me, here, take this stack of pink Post-it notes and write down your whole life. That is, he said, I want you to write down every major life event that you have on one Post-it note. Write an event on a Post-it, take it off, and write the next one. I want you to do this, just focus and give yourself to this for 1 hour. And so I and the others in my group, we took our big stack of yellow Post-it notes, and we began to write down life events as they came to our minds. One after the other after the other. Graduating from high school, going to college, getting married. The first son is born, second son is born, getting ordained, my first call. That, and then as I kind of captured those major life events, I started to remember sort of the next event down. Maybe it was that important conversation with a youth pastor that redirected my life. Or the first date with my wife. Post-it note after post-it note after post-it note. Before I realized it, by the end of the hour, I had 50 or 60 post-it notes, each with a major life event on it. And I was sort of like in awe of it. And then he said, now I want you to look at all those life events, and every one of those, every life event that you would say is painful. Everyone is hard. Everyone that was a not good thing. He says, I want you to take that yellow Post-it note and I want you to transfer that life event onto a pink Post-it note. And so I began to review my life all over again and look at each one of those life events and begin to change, to swap some yellow Post-it notes out for pink Post-it notes. And then we continued the exercise, laying all these Post-it notes out on a big piece of poster board and beginning to see the patterns and the rhythms of our lives, the yellow Post-it notes and the pink Post-it notes. And then my coach asked the big question. And I imagine you already know what that question is. He asked, so when you look at all your life and you look at those yellow Post-it notes and those pink Post-it notes, which were the events, which Post-it notes represent the places where you grew the most? And I and everybody else in the group, we all had to acknowledge that for as wonderful as those yellow Post-it notes were, it was the pink Post-it notes that we really grew the most. It's the places where God stretched us and grew us. It was out of that pain, out of that difficulty, that we became more the people God intended for us to be. And so as you consider your own lives, I even created a little bit of a space for you in the bulletin where I've given you some prompts. And the first prompts I asked you are, what are the things in your life that you're grateful for that are easy to be grateful for? It's really easy to be grateful for yellow Post-it note moments, isn't it? It's so easy to be grateful for the birth of a child. It's pretty hard to say, thank you, Lord, that I just got laid off. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wedding day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for cancer. It is incredibly difficult in the moment to be able to thank God for everything, but isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul told us to do? Isn't that exactly the instruction? What he's essentially saying is, be grateful no matter what. Gratitude is the foundation for all spiritual life and growth. The spirit, the posture, I want to say. Think of that as a physical posture. If you were to try to imagine a posture of gratitude, what would that look like in your mind? How would you physically express gratitude to God? Perhaps it would be simply head lifted up. Or maybe your hands open before God? Or maybe to have hands high and lifted up. How would you posture this? I want to suggest to us that that is the posture that God calls us to return to over and over again, and to do so especially for the painful parts of our lives. So if not now, at some point my invitation to you would be to go and think back on your life and say, even over the last week or the last month, what are the things in my life right now that I'm really grateful for and it's easy to be grateful for? And what are the things that are really hard to be grateful for? And yet, the Apostle Paul is urging us, be grateful no matter what. Gratitude is such an important part of our spiritual formation that even in the Old Testament, it was codified. It was made part of the religious rituals of the day. It was described as the peace offering or the fellowship offering. It was one of five major offerings that were described in the law, in Leviticus. And it's the one in which you're actually supposed to share a common meal. That is, at this offering, you would butcher the animal and all of the fat, the fatty parts, the offal, if you know that term, all of that gets burnt as an offering to the Lord. The rest of it gets barbecued, and you share that with your family and friends. The Thanksgiving offering, this time of Thanksgiving is one in which I want to acknowledge the good things that God's done, and I want to make sure that we all get to celebrate that together. It was also connected to times of spiritual renewal. In 1st and 2nd Chronicles, I'll make sure I get my notes right. 2 Chronicles features the wonderful downfall of Israel and Judah. And it describes all the really great kings and all the really bad kings. And in particular, I noticed how Hezekiah was universally seen as a really good king. He came in and brought all sorts of religious reform. He kicked out all the idols. He tore down all the shrines to the false gods. He called the people to worship the one true living God again. He did all of these great reforms. And as the culmination of these great reforms, he had a big feast. And at that time, after the temple had been reestablished, after the temple had been cleansed of all the nonsense, after things had gotten right, or put back it right again, he had a free will offering and he invited everybody to the barbecue. Then his son Manasseh came along, and he was the worst. Manasseh promptly went back to doing all the things that his father had just undone. Worshipping false gods, setting up shrines, doing all kind of bad things. God, 2 Chronicles says, God spoke to Manasseh repeatedly, but Manasseh would not listen. So God sent the armies of Assyria to come, raid Jerusalem, take Manasseh hostage, put a hook in his nose, 2 Chronicles says. I love the way 2 Chronicles describes things. They're like no bones about stuff. Takes a hook in his nose and drags him to Babylon. And then it says this. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. In his distress, Manasseh sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Well, I'll bet he did. I'll bet he did. And so we should wonder, was Manasseh's forced vacation to Babylon something for which he would look back and be grateful? Would he look back and say that hook in the nose was a really good thing? Apparently, yes. Because when he got back to Jerusalem, he rebuilt the walls. He fortified Judah's cities so that Assyria didn't roll up on him again. Then he got rid of all the foreign gods and their altars. And finally, 2 Chronicles says, he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. What's the punchline? The punchline is this. If we are relating to God in a spirit other than gratitude, then we are starting off on the wrong foot, and inevitably we're going to have to start over. And that starting over can happen simply and gently, or it can be very painful and difficult. But whenever we start off with a spirit other than gratitude for anything, trying to any renewal effort, if it's not coming out of a heart of gratitude to who God is and for what God has done, if it's something else, if it's a spirit of animosity, of anger, of jealousy, of resentment, of complaint, if it's out of some other spirit other than generosity, we're starting off on the wrong foot, and inevitably, we're going to have to start over. The New Testament writers continually call for gratitude. And I invite you to take some time, perhaps, and do that Google search and see where the words thanks and thanksgiving show up in the New Testament and what the context of those things. But I, of course, want to emphasize what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I love the punctuation that the NIV provides to this, because the way that the NIV translates it, it sort of makes it, really brings home this idea that gratitude is kind of the solid rock foundation for a well-lived life. Be joyful always, semicolon. Pray continually, semicolon. Give thanks in all circumstances, comma, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of you have gone to a seminar titled Knowing God's Will for Your Life? Really? Just me? None of you ever went to college briefing? None of you ever went to Urbana? None of you ever... Oh, there we go. Somebody went to a... This is the question, right? I want to know God's will for my life. And Paul just told it to you. God's will for your life is be grateful. Is to have your life defined by gratitude. All circumstances, he says. All of them. Or as we read earlier in the message, thank God no matter what happens. And what I think is really extraordinary about this is that it's Paul's sum up of the instructions that, funny enough, relate to all the people in the church. The NRSV lists them as those who labor among you, as the idlers, the faint-hearted, and the weak. Or as the message put it, the leaders, the freeloaders, the stragglers, and the exhausted. And if you wanted to sum up all of the people who get on your nerves in church, or who you feel are the problem, or who you are sure that if they would just get with the program, then we could actually make some progress around here, I think that's a pretty good list, don't you? Don't you think that the church would be way better if the leaders would do a better job, and if the lazy ones would start doing their fair share, and if the faint-hearted would quit being wimps about it, and if the weak would just toughen up? Don't we think that that would be so much better? Don't we think that would fix everything? Thank God no matter what happens, Paul says. And he seems to also be implying, thank God no matter who happens. Thank God no matter who happens in your life. Lift up the leaders instead of badmouth them. Coach up the lazy instead of complaining about them. Cheer up the discouraged instead of just telling them to get over it. Give a hand up to the weak instead of clucking our tongues and saying that they really should try harder. In other words, don't complain to God about them. Thank God for them. If we are relating to God or each other in a spirit other than gratitude, then we are starting off on the wrong foot. And inevitably, we have to start over. So I put in the bulletin a second prompt. First, I asked you, what are the things in your life that are easy to be grateful for? And what are the things in your life that are hard to be grateful for? That can be challenging. Then I can ask you this next question, who are the people in your life? Who are the people in your life that it's easy to be grateful for? And who are the people in your life that it's hard to be grateful for? And I probably should have added a third prompt, who are both? I am so grateful for my son. I am so hard, I mean, a hard time being grateful for my son right now. And so it goes, right? These people who are closest to us are the ones that for whom we find it most difficult and most easy, depending on the day, to be grateful. And God is saying, be grateful for them. Instead of making them the problem, instead of making them the issue, make them your teacher. Allow them to be the some pink post-it note people who are going to teach you the ways of sanctification, who are going to help you grow up fully into the image of Christ, who are going to help you live the life that God always intended you to be. Because one way or the other, all the people in our life are either helping us, encouraging us to be more like Jesus, or giving us an opportunity to be more like Jesus. But they are a gift to us, and we're called to be grateful for them. And so I told you that today was going to be themed around gratitude, specifically gratitude for West Valley Presbyterian Church, for the people of West Valley Presbyterian Church. And I told you that somebody had caught me a couple weeks ago and suggested that, you know, we spend way too much time as a church talking about what's wrong around here. Talk about what the problem is when we need to be practicing gratitude. And I felt really chastened by that. And so I wanted to make sure we had a worship service that was be given just to that work. Z, this morning, brought a big stack of stationery that she had in her at her house. And I made sure that each and every one of you got one of those cards in your bulletin. Yes? Y'all got one? Great. Now, I'm blowing the minds of our ushers by doing the offering afterwards. But I wanted to create a space where we could write thank you notes to God on West Valley Presbyterian Church stationery to and about and for West Valley Presbyterian Church. And if I may be so narcissistic for a moment, please do not include me in these thank you notes. Okay? That really defeats the exercise. Please don't, no, thank you, Lord, for sending Pastor Morgan, because it's not about me. I love being a transition pastor because I get to say 100,000,000,000 times, it's not about me. It's not about me. This is not the time to thank God for the leaders that's standing in front of you. This might be the time to thank God for the leaders who came behind me. Excuse me, before me. We're going to be thanking God for the ones behind me too. But for now, we don't know about them yet. For now, I want you to think about the leaders. I want you to think about the lazy ones. I want you to think about the weak ones, the discouraged ones, and all the people who've taught you how to be more like Jesus because they were part of this church. I want you to thank God for the ways in which this church has been a community to you, for you, and calling you to be community to others. And I want that to be part of our offering this morning. And I did pretty good. We have a little bit of time. So I'm going to impress upon my good friend Gary, if he'd give us a little bit of background music. I'm going to let him play whatever he wants, and I'm going to be grateful for it. And you will too. I want to give you a few moments, and I'll cue when I come back, just a couple minutes to reflect for a few moments. I want you to write a thank you note. You can put it in the envelope if you want to. And we're going to put it in the offering plate in a few moments when I call the ushers forward. Not just yet, but we're going to do that in a few minutes. Okay? Lord, by your Holy Spirit, please inspire us, each of us, to write even just a line or two of gratitude that truly speaks to how grateful we are in no matter what. Thankful, Lord, for the hard things and the beautiful things of our lives together as a church. Inspire us in this offering, we pray. Amen. As we receive these expressions of gratitude, as well as our tithes and our offerings, that which God has given to us to sustain us, that we give back to the Lord in thanksgiving for His constant provision and faithfulness, hear these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We give not out of obligation. We give out of gratitude. Continue to open our hearts, Lord, for this grateful giving. Ushers, I invite you to come forward. And now, friends, receive the benediction from 1 Thessalonians. This is what Paul says at the end of those great instructions. He then says, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.